gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. I read for you Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. Luke 19, 28. Listen for the word of God for you this day. After Jesus had spoken, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying that colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus. And after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen. And they said, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would cry out.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. You may have heard, perhaps you've seen something on the news. It appears that we are in the season of politics. It's loud, it's oppositional, and we cannot understand what those people over there could possibly be thinking. We who stand in the pulpit to proclaim God's word are baffled by leaders, or those who would hope to be leaders, who are advocating something different than what we were told in seminaries. Some are saying that we really should not be encouraged to care for our neighbors, not expected to give aid to political refugees, and certainly not to help those who have less than we have. And thus, we have been witnessing gatherings, large, loud, oppositional gatherings, where hatred and exclusion are encouraged and commended. On this Palm Sunday, we hear again the eyewitness report from the Gospel according to Luke that speaks of another gathering where the people were expressing their choice for king, their choice for leader, their choice for the one who would change their lives and their futures. It's a picture quite different from the ones that we see today on the news. Listen to Luke's memory. "As Jesus was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Well, wow, that's different. The whole multitude of disciples would, I assume, translate to more than just 12. The word multitude would make the number larger than 12 in any translation. So this multitude began to praise God. Wait, what? They weren't shouting the name of the man on the donkey? They weren't indicating that they'd support him with their vote or their promise to make phone calls or go door to door? Wait. Instead of naming him, they were giving credit to his largest backer? What? Now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully. Whoa, joyfully? Really? Not with angry faces? Not shouting derogatory names? Not trying to interrupt the parade or even to trip the donkey? What kind of rally is this? As Jesus was now, yada, yada, Mount of Olives, yada, yada, multitude, yada, praise God joyfully for all the deeds of power that they had seen. Well, now it appears that inserted into this spontaneously formed crowd were people who had been eyewitnesses to some of the miracle works of Jesus. They could speak of it directly. They'd seen it. Lots of them had seen it. This was not spoken of by the man on the donkey. No, for the man on the donkey didn't speak at all. It was not announced on behalf of him from a parade stage. It didn't need to be announced. The people were thrilled to tell of their own experience with this man. The crowd, just regular people in the crowd, were testifying in public to other people all around them, to whomever would listen to their eyewitness experiences. These details, these behaviors shaped by this joyous crowd, encouraged by the disciples who'd spent time with him, behaviors that were almost squelched by the church leaders who were skeptical, and these behaviors continually watched for the entire parade route by the man on the donkey, these details show a very different kind of rally than the ones that we have witnessed on television in recent months. Do I intend to compare the campaign of any Republican or any Democrat to the campaign of the man on the donkey? I do not. Of course, we who have read the rest of the story know that the man on the donkey would not live to see himself installed as king, nor any other type of leader. As a matter of record, the man on the donkey would not live another week. This was a royal visit to a royal city. And because we have heard this story before, we know much about this visit. While the appearance of this parade was regal, the ride on that humble animal denoted not a messiah of raw power, but of humility and service. Ahead, there would be rejection, humiliation, crushing pain, and death. This leader of the people came through the gates of the royal city not to be crowned with glory and honor, but to die. In a day when Christians in America are gyrating to wildly differing drumbeats with the intention of capturing political, social, and economic power, this picture of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, even though seemingly received well, still makes us a little nervous. We want a Messiah who comes in power, not in weakness. A Messiah who conquers Roman authority and establishes Israel. We want what they wanted. We want a nationalistic Messiah. We don't get what we wanted. We get much more. Perhaps we should reconsider our voting criteria for those seeking leadership today. Perhaps until we see one who comes in genuine humility, whose presence makes us want to praise God. Yes, even to praise God joyfully. Perhaps we need some people intermittently spaced in the crowds who can speak, even testify to the deeds of power that they have seen. The story of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into the holy city, is a rebuke of the individual ambition to dominate. Pride, arrogance, ambition, and self-aggrandizing are not here on this donkey ride. There are no narcissistic speeches where candidates list their own achievements and pronounce themselves good. Instead, the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords riding on a colt shows that superiority, competitiveness, power struggle, and strife are gone. Here, Jesus on a donkey calls me to account, that is, if I'm willing to make him my model of leadership. So once again, as we commemorate the parade with palms, we remember the triumphal entry into the city gates. Once again, we wonder how we would have reacted if we'd been in the crowd that day. Or perhaps we don't wonder at all. Perhaps we're absolutely certain that we would have recognized him. We would have called his name. We would have been his strongest supporter, for we know that he knows us and calls us and loves our discipleship, which we practice every day. Really? The importance of making a wise decision about this man on a donkey, is a constant theme in the gospel texts. We should contemplate the consequences of rejecting God's offer of grace through this humble servant Messiah. God desires our allegiance. We are responsible for our own choice. A time will come when we must own up to our own decision. We alone are responsible for our choice. And keep in mind that this man riding on the back of a donkey does not look anything at all like those campaigning for our allegiance today. The promises he offers will not thrill the people on the parade route today. The crowds who follow him will not act like the crowds following the ones who are campaigning today. And what he offers is not more, but more work, more obedience, more sacrifice, and the very distinct possibility that we will face a humiliating and painful death just like his. Will the people in the 21st century find a leader like that? No. Will the people who make up the body of Christ in the 21st century be people like that? The choice is ours again today. The choice is always ours.